Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers, Father Brian.
Here's Father Tate.
And our theme song. We'll put it in there eventually. Go for it.
Sorry. So beautiful. I don't know what to say.
Tearing up.
But yeah, so this sixth meditation is about judgment. So, once again, place yourself in the presence of God. And then entreat Him to inspire you. Here are some things to consider as you pray. Number one, when the time comes which God has appointed for the end of this world, and after many terrible signs and warnings which will overwhelm men with fear, the whole earth will be destroyed and nothing then left. Number two, afterwards, all men, save those already risen, shall rise from the dead, and at the voice of the archangel appear in the valley of Jehoshaphat. But alas, with what diverse aspects! For some will be glorious and shining, others horrible and ghastly. Three, consider the majesty with which a sovereign judge will appear surrounded by all his saints and angels. His cross, a sign of grace to the good and of terror to the evil, shining brighter than the sun. Number four, this sovereign judge will, with his awful word, instantly fulfilled, separate the evil and the good, setting the one on his right hand, the other on his left, an internal separation, for they will never meet again. this separation made, the books of conscience will be opened, and all men will behold the malice of the wicked, and how they condemned God. As also the penitence of the good, and the results of the grace they received. Nothing will be hid. Oh my God, what confusion to the one, what rejoicing to the other. Consider the final sentence of the wicked. Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Dwell upon these awful words. Go, he says, forever discarding these wretched sinners, banishing them forever from his presence. He calls him cursed. O my soul, what a curse! A curse involving all other maledictions, all possible evil, an irrevocable curse, including time and eternity, condemning them to everlasting fire. Think what that eternity of suffering implies. Lastly, then consider the sentence of the good. Come, the judge says. O blessed loving word with which God draws us to himself and receives us in his bosom. Blessed of my Father. O blessing above all blessings. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning of the world. Oh my God, and that kingdom will know no end.
Affections and resolutions. First, tremble in my soul at the thought, O God, who will be my stay in that hour when the pillars of the earth are shaken? Second, abhor your sins, which alone can cause you to be lost when that fearful day comes. Surely I will judge myself now, that I be not judged. I will examine my conscience, accuse, condemn, and punish myself, that the judge may not condemn me then. I will confess my faults and follow the counsels given me.
For our conclusion, thank God for having given you means of safety in that terrible day and time for repentance. offer him your heart and ask for grace to use it well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. At this moment, please gather your bouquet.
So, some different graces given during this time. It takes me back, anyways, to our 30 day, and St. Ignatius has a similar setup for Judgment Day, and using our imagination to say, are we going to hear good and faithful servant, or go, I do not know you. So, very interesting, and our tendency, I think, as my brokenness is to say, if I've done wrong, that's bad, so I shouldn't bring it up, and God's mercy is not that way, God's love is not that way. If I've done wrong, if I've sinned, I should bring it up to him, because he's the only one that can do anything about it. He's the only one that can actually help, so... It's funny, and I think mothers can feel this. They're the ones that care the most for the kids, but sometimes they also get the backlash of their kids. That is not fair. But I think we do that all too often to even God, to say he's created us, given us this life. And sometimes we can blame him and accuse him of whatever, even though he's given us this radical gift of life that we're all in on. But just that we can lose that by our own free will, to walk away from him in sin, but to bring it to him and to have this time, beautiful time, time for repentance, time for bringing that to the Lord, right? God creates us without our permission, but he cannot save us without our permission, and what that permission looks like is allowing him to have our entire lives, which means everything in our lives coming under his reign. Our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our sins. Sin's the only thing that's actually ours, and he wants that too. So, Bante, any blessings?
Yeah. Like, for me, like, just these last two meditations, it's so easy to be like, why are we doing this? This is just another thing to, like, hammer down the Catholic guilt. But, you know, and because I was praying with them, like, why is St. Francis de Sales and all the saints always look at, say, consider your life as it is ending? Because believe it or not, the tough question is to be humble is, sometimes I value my life of being alive more than my relationship with God, right? No one, it's hard to admit that. So as I was listening to these things, I'm like, Lord, I have a long ways to go to truly make you my number one. So as scary as this is, if we go deeper with the Lord, and as we grow in love with the Lord, we will no longer use the word guilt. What we're going to say is, I love God too much to make him sad. I love God too much that I don't want to lose the opportunity. Like, if I die, I can't be with him forever. Like, that's scary, right? Mm-hmm. And so these meditations are to help us slowly get there, to wean all this away, because it's so easy. Like, right now we're living in a world where, like, the first thought that we have can either make it or break it in our relationship with God. And that's... Right? And so, but when we go through these meditations, it's always hopeful, because look at the words he chooses. What if we did live for Jesus? Then we can rest, like number six. Listen to the sentence of the faithful servant. Good. Come. blessing. You're a blessing. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I want to hear when I go meet Jesus. Well done, faithful servant. That's all I ask. So for me, I have hope in that. Every day, that has to be my number one priority. Right? Life is short. How do I live for Jesus and not offend him anymore?
Yeah. It does. It puts a hard burden on our human love, which is very often conditional, especially from our parents.
Yep.
It's conditional, even though we try best we can to be unconditional. Sometimes it becomes conditional, and if we live in that world, then we are afraid to say our faults and our sins, because then my conditional love may be taken away from me.
Yep.
Versus God's unconditional love cannot be taken away from me. But I can choose not to respond to it. So that's the big part about that. So, all right, Practical Rambling Fathers, Father Brian.
And Father Tay.
Stay holy, my friends. Catch you later.
Until next time.